And then all along down through life, I'd see that moving, see that vision, how those things would happen. Then a little later on, it kept bothering me so much, and everybody tell me it was wrong, and I took off to my old stamping grounds up there where I always prayed through, and I, no matter how much I keep praying for that not to come to me, it come anyhow. And so I was game warden in the state of Indiana. And I come in, there was a man sitting there, a brother to my pianist at the tabernacle. And he said, "Billy, will you ride up to Madison with me this afternoon?" I said, "I can't do it. I've got to go up to the forestry." And I'd just coming around the house and taking off my belt, gun belt and things, and rolling up my sleeves. We live in a little two-room house, and I was going to wash and make ready for my meal. And I'd wash and just walking around the side of the house under a big maple tree, and all at once something went... And I just almost passed out. And I looked and I knowed it was that again. I sat on those steps and he jumped out of his car and run to me and said, "Billy, are you fainting?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "What's the matter, Billy?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "Just go ahead, brother. That's all right. Thank you." My wife came out and brought a pitcher of water. She said, "Honey, what's the matter?" I said, "Nothing, sweetheart." So she said, "Come on now. Dinner's ready." She put her arm around me, tried to bring me in. I said, "Honey, I want to tell you something." I said, "You call him up and tell him I won't be out there this afternoon." I said, "Meaty, sweetheart." I said, "I know in my heart I love Jesus Christ. I know that I've passed from death unto life. But I don't want the devil having anything to do with me." And I said, "I can't go on like this. I'm a prisoner." I said, "All the time when this thing keeps happening, things like that, and these visions are coming and so forth like that, or whatever it is." I said, "It happens to me." I didn't know it was a vision. I didn't call it a vision. But I said, "Them trances like," I said, "I don't know what that is. And honey, I don't want to fool with it. They tell me it's the devil, and I love the Lord Jesus." Oh, she said, "Billy, you oughtn't listen to what people tell you." I said, "But I, honey, look at other preachers." I said, I don't want it. I said, "I'm going to my place in the woods. I got about $15. You take care of Billy. Billy's a little bitty boy then, little bitty fella." I said, you take care. That's enough for you and Billy to live on a while. Call him up and tell him I may be back tomorrow. I may not never be back. If I ain't back in the next 5 days, put a man on in my place." And I said, "Meaty, I'll never come out of that woods until God promises me he'll take that thing away from me and never let it happen again." Think of the ignorance that a man can be. Now I went up there that night. Went back in a little old cabin for us the next day. It was kind of late. I was going to go up to my camp the next day up on the farther around the mountain, or the hill rather, and get up in the woods there. I don't believe the FBI could find me up there. So this little old cabin, I'd been praying all that afternoon, and before it got too dark, I prayed, was reading over there in the Bible where it said the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. I couldn't make that out. So it got too dark in the little old cabin where I used to trap when I was a boy. I had a trap line through there and go up there and fish and stay all night. There's a little old dilapidated cabin sitting over there. Been in there for years. Some tenant might have had it before it all come to that. And so I was just waiting there and I thought, well, got along towards 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I was walking up down the floor, walking back and forth. I sat down on a little old stool there, box of a thing. And I sat down there and I thought, "Oh God, why do you do this to me?" I said, "Father, you know I love you. You know that I love you. And I don't want to be possessed with the devil. I don't want them things to happen to me. Please, God, don't never let it happen no more. I said, I love you. I don't want to go to hell. What's the use of me preaching and trying and putting my efforts forth if I'm wrong? I'm not only taking myself to hell, I'm misleading thousands of others, or hundreds of others in them days." And I said, I had a big ministry. And I said, "Well, I don't never want it to happen to me again." And I sat down on this little stool and I just sitting all kind of in this position. Just like that. And all at once, I seen a light flicker in the room. I thought somebody was coming up with a flashlight. And I looked around and I thought, well, and here it was right out in front of me, an old wooden boards on the floor. And there it was right in front of me, the little old drum stove sitting in the corner, the top was tore out of it. And right in here there was a, a light on the floor, and I thought, well, where's that? Well, that couldn't be coming. I looked around, and here it was above me, this very same light. Right there above me, hanging right like that. Circling around like a fire, it's kind of an emerald color, going like that, just above it, like that. And I looked at that and I thought, what is that? Now, it scared me. I heard somebody coming. Just walking. Oh, it was barefooted. And I seen the foot of a man come in. It's dark in the room, all but right here where it's shining right down. I seen the foot of a man coming in. And when he come into the room, walked on up, he was a man about, looked way about 200 pounds. He had his hands folded like this. Now, I'd seen it in a whirlwind. I'd heard it talk to me and seen it in a form of a light, but the first time I ever seen the image of it. It walked up to me real close. Well, honest friend, I thought my heart would fail me. Just imagine, put yourself there. It'd make you feel the same way. You're maybe farther along the road than I am, maybe a Christian longer, but it would make you feel that way. Because after hundreds and hundreds of times of visitation, it paralyzes me when he comes near. Sometimes it even makes me, I almost completely pass out. Just so weak. When I leave the platform, many times if I stay too long, I'll go completely out. I've had him ride me around for hours, not even know where I was at. Now, I can't explain it. Read down here in the Bible and it'll explain it. What it is. The scripture says so. So I was sitting there and looking at him. I kind of had my hand up like that. He's looking right at me, just as pleasant. But he had a real deep voice. And he said, "Do not fear. I am sent from the presence of Almighty God." And when he spoke that voice, that was the same voice that spoke to me when I was 2 years old all the way up. I know that was him. And I thought, now, and hear it, now listen to the conversation. I'll quote it the best that I can, knowingly, word by word, because I hardly remember. And I said, looked at him like that, he said, "Do not fear. Just as quiet. That I am sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you that your peculiar birth, as you know what my birth was up there, that same light hung over me when I was first born. And so is that your peculiar birth and misunderstood life has been to indicate that you're to go to all the world and pray for the sick people." And said, and regardless of what they have, and he designated, God who's my judge knows, that he designated cancer. Said, if you get the people to believe you and be sincere when you pray, nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even cancer. See? You get the people to believe you. And I seen he wasn't my enemy, he was my friend. I didn't know where I was dying or what was happening when he's coming up to me like that. And I said, well, sir, I said, I am, what do I know about healings and things like that, those gifts? I said, well, sir, I'm a poor man. And I said, I'm among my people. I live with my people who's poor. I'm uneducated. And I said, and I would not be able, they not understand me. I said, they wouldn't hear me. And he said, as the prophet Moses was given two gifts, signs rather, to vindicate his ministry, so are you given two gifts to vindicate your ministry. He said, one of them will be that you'll take the person that you're praying for by the hand, with your left hand and their right. And said, then just stand quiet. And there'll be a physical effect that'll happen on your body. And said, then you pray, and if it leaves, the disease is gone from the people. If it doesn't leave, just ask the blessing and walk away. Well, I said, sir, I'm afraid they won't receive me. He said, and the next thing will be, if they won't hear that, then they will hear this. He said, then it'll come to pass that you'll know the very secret of their heart. That this they will hear. Well, I said, sir, that's why I'm here tonight. I have been told by my clergyman that those things that's been coming to me was wrong. He said, you were born in this world for that purpose. See, gifts and calling without repentance? He said, you were born in this world for that purpose. And I said, well, sir, I said that my clergyman told me it was the evil spirit. And I said, that's why I'm here praying. And here's what he quoted to me. He related to me the coming of the Lord Jesus in his first time. And I said, the strange thing was, friends, well, I'll stop right here just for a minute. Go back. What made me more scared than ever, every time I met a fortune teller, they would recognize something had happened. And that would just, it nearly kill me. For instance, one day, my cousins and I was going down to a carnival ground. We just boys walking along. So there's a little old fortune teller sitting out there in one of those tents, a young lady, nice looking young lady, she's sitting there. We all going walking by. She said, say you, come here a minute. And the three of us boys turned around. And she said, you with the striped sweater. That was me. I said, yes, ma'am. I thought she maybe wanted me to go get her a Coke or something or like that. And she was a young woman, maybe in her early 20s or something, sitting there. And I woke up. I said, yes, ma'am. What could I do for you? And she said, say, did you know there's a light that follows you? You were born under a certain sign. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you were born under a certain sign. There's a light that follows you. You were born for a divine call. I said, get away from here, woman. I started moving on because my mother always told me them things is of the devil. She was right. So that scared me. One day while I was a game warden, I was going up on the bus, and I got on a bus that always seemed to be subject to spirit. I was standing there, and the sailor standing behind me. I was going up to patrol. I was going up to Henryville Forestry, and I was on the bus. I kept feeling some strange something. I looked around there, and there was a great big heavy-set woman sitting there, nicely dressed. She said, how do you do? I said, how do you do? I thought it was just a woman, you know, talking. So I just kept, she said, I'd like to talk to you a minute. I said, yes, ma'am. I turned around. She said, did you know you were born under a sign? I thought another one of them funny women. So I just looked on out. So I never said a word. Just kept. She said, could I speak to you a minute? I just kept. She said, don't act like that. I just kept looking forward. I thought, that isn't gentlemanlike. She said, I'd like to speak to you just a moment. I just kept looking forward, and I wouldn't pay attention to her. Directly, I thought, I believe I'll see if she says like the rest of them. I turned around, and I thought, oh my, that'd quiver me, I know, because I hated to think that. Turned around, she said, maybe I better explain myself. She said, I'm an astrologist. I said, I thought you were something like that. She said, I'm on my way to Chicago to see my boy, who's a Baptist minister. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, did anybody ever tell you you were born under a sign? And I said, no, ma'am. And I lied to her there, see. And I said, just want to see what she's going to say. And she said, I said, no, ma'am. And she said, hasn't ministers ever told you? I said, I don't have nothing to do with ministers. And she said, she said, if I tell you just exactly when you was born, will you believe me? I said, no, ma'am. And she said, well, I can tell you when you were born. I said, I don't believe it. And she said, you were born on April the 6th, 1909 at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, that's right. I said, how do you know that? I said, tell this sailor here when he was born. I said, I can't. I said, why? How do you know? I said, look, sir. She said, when she began to talk about this astronomy now, and she said, ever so many years, said, you remember when the morning star come and led the wise man to Jesus Christ? And I kind of stalled it, you know. I said, well, I don't know nothing about religion. And she said, well, you've heard about the wise man coming to see Jesus? I said, yes. And she said, what was wise man? Oh, I said, it was just wise man, all I know. She said, well, what is a wise man? She said, the same thing that I am, an astrologist, stargazer, they call him. And she said, you know, before God does anything in the earth, he always declares it in the heaven and then on the earth. And I said, I don't know. And she said, well, she called two or three stars, like Mars, Jupiter, and Venus. It wasn't them, but she said, they crossed their path and come together and made, said there was three wise men that come to meet the Lord Jesus, and one was from the lineage of Ham, and one Shem, and another Japheth. And said when they met together at Bethlehem, the three stars that they were from, every person on earth said it has something to do with the stars. Said, ask that sailor there, when the moon goes out and the heavenly planet goes out, the tide doesn't go with it and come in. I said, I don't have to ask him that. I know that. And she said, well, your birth has something to do with the stars up there. And I said, well, that I don't know. And she said, now these three wise men came and said, when they, three stars, when they come from different directions, and they met at Bethlehem, and they said, they found out and consulted one was from the lineage of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. And she said, then they come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And said when they departed, said they brought gifts and put to him, and said Jesus Christ said in his ministry that when this gospel has been preached to all the world, Ham, Shem, and Japheth's people, then he would come again. And she said, now those planets, heavenly planets, as they move around, said they separated. They've never been on the earth since, no one. But said ever so many hundred years, they cross their cycle like this. If they happen to be an astronomer here, you might know what she's talking about. I don't. So when she's talking, said they cross like that, and said in commemoration of the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, when God gave his son, when these planets cross themselves again, well, said he sends another gift to the earth. And said, you were born on the crossing of that time. And I said, that's the reason I knew it. Well, then I said, lady, the first place, I don't believe anything about it. I'm not religious, and I don't want to hear no more about it. Walked away. And so I cut her off pretty sharp. So I went on out, and every time I get around one of them, that's the way it would be. And I thought, why does them devils do that? Then the preacher's saying, that's the devil, that's the devil. They had me believing it. And then that night up there, when he referred to that, I asked him, I said, well, why is it all them mediums and things like that and them devil-possessed people that always tell me about it and the clergy that my brethren tell me that it's of the evil spirit? Now listen to what he said, this one who's hanging over there in the picture. He said, as it was then, so is it now. And he began to refer to me that when the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ began to take place, the ministers said he was Beelzebub, the devil. But the devils said he was the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. Devils, and look at Paul and Barnabas when they're up there preaching. The minister said, these men turn the world upside down. They're evil. They're the devil. And a little old fortune teller out on the street recognized that Paul and Barnabas is a man of God, said they're a man of God who tell us the way of life. Is that right? Spiritualists and soothsayers, demon-possessed people, but we get so soured down on theology till we don't know nothing about the Spirit. I hope you love me after this. But that's what it is. I mean Pentecost too. That's right. Just shouting and dancing around doesn't mean you know anything about the Spirit. It's personal contact, face to face. That's what you need. That's the kind of church God's fixing to raise up. That's right, when they come together in unity and power and spirit. And he referred to that. And he told me how that the ministry misunderstood it and assured me that the ministry had misunderstood it. And when he told me all about this and how that Jesus, I said, well, what about this? These things that happened to me? And he said, that'll multiply and get greater and greater. And he referred to me, tell me how Jesus did it. How did he come? And he was possessed with a power that could foreknow things and tell the women at the well, claim not to be a healer, claim to do those things just as the Father showed him. I said, well, what kind of spirit would that be? He said, it was the Holy Spirit. Then something there happened inside of me that I realized that the very thing that I turned my back on was what God brought me here for. And I realized that it was just like those Pharisees in the days gone by. They had misinterpreted the Scripture to me. So from then on, I took my own interpretation of it, what the Holy Spirit said. I told him I'd go. He said, I'll be with you. And the angel stepped into the light again. They began to come around and around and around and around and around his feet like that, went up into the light and went out of the building. I went home a new person. Walked over to the church and told the people about it. On Sunday night and on the Wednesday night, they brought a woman there, one of Mayo's nurses, dying with cancer, nothing but a shadow. When I walked down to take a hold of her, there come a vision before her, showed her back nursing again. And she's on the list in Louisville, been dead for years. There she is at Jeffersonville now nursing, been nursing for years. Before I looked up there and I seen that vision, I turned around hardly knowing what I was doing. Standing there, I quivered when they first brought that case and laid it down there, and the nurses and things standing around her, her laying there, and her face all sunk in, her eyes way back, Margie Morgan. If you want to ride to her, that's 411 Canobolo Avenue, Jeffersonville, Indiana. Or right Clark County Hospital, Jeffersonville, Indiana. Let her give you the testimony. And I looked down there, and that first case there to see here come out, there come a vision. I seen that woman nursing again, walking around good and strong and healthy. I said, thus saith the Lord, you'll live and not die. Her husband, a very high man in this world, saying, looked at me like that. I said, sir, don't you fear. Your wife will live.
He called me outside, said, called two or three doctors, said, you know them? I said, yes. Well, I said, I played golf with him. He said, the cancer had wrapped around her intestines. You can't even wash her out with the enema. I said, I don't care what she's got. Something down in here, I seen a vision. That man that told me said, whatever I seen to say it, then it would be so. And he's told me, and I believe it. Praise God. A few days from then, she's doing her washing, going around. She weighs about 165 pounds now in perfect health. Then when I accepted, away it went. Then Robert Daugherty called me, and here it went out down through Texas, across the world. And one night, on about four or five times out, I couldn't understand speaking in tongues and so forth. I believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believed that people could speak in tongues. One night when I was walking out onto in a cathedral, San Antonio, Texas, walking out there, a little fellow sitting up here began to speak in tongues like a shotgun firing, or a machine gun, rapidly. Way back there, a fellow raised up and said, thus saith the Lord. The man that's walking to the platform is going forward with a ministry that was ordained of Almighty God. And as John the Baptist was sent as the first forerunner of the coming of Jesus Christ, so he packs a message that'll cause the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to sunk in my shoes. I looked up. I said, do you know that man? He said, no, sir. I said, do you know him? He said, no, sir. I said, do you know me? He said, no, sir. I said, what are you doing here? He said, I read it in the paper, and this is the first night of the meeting. I looked over there, and I said, how'd you come here? He said, some of my people told me that you was going to be here, a divine healer, and I come. I said, don't you all know one another? He said, no. Oh, my. There I seen that the very power of the Holy Spirit, where one time back there I thought it was wrong, and I know that this same angel of God was associated with them people that had those things. Although they had thrown in a lot of mix-up and a lot of babbling in it, but in there was a genuine article.